Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the premier knitting podcast in the world. We are the Yarn Spinners, and we spin yarn, woolen, obviously.
Of course.
So,
4 gauge.
Absolutely, absolutely. After a long hiatus, aka break, aka holiday, aka Tom.
Sabbatical.
We are back.
We are. We thought. We had a little break, and it was nice. It was refreshing. We're here now.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Let's carry on.
Prick.
As everyone can see, no love has been lost, and the banter is just as witty. So,
cheap. Thanks for cheap shots.
Thanks for joining us.
That's what we're all about.
I will get all of my racist jokes out in the interval when we're off air. That's how low we still are.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I'm surprised that you didn't say anything off air.
Well, you know, I'm easing you back in before I ram it home.
Homosexual there. Very homosexual. Very homoerotic.
So, in our little break, tell me what you've been doing. Because we haven't actually spoken that much.
Not much, really.
In fits and spurts, but
yeah.
Catch me up.
Work.
Cool.
That's about it, really.
Just such an Asian.
Math.
How many calculators have you gone through in this time frame?
Oh, mate, they can't keep up. Casio or whoever makes them can't keep up the production now.
No, but what have you been doing? What have you been doing? Enlighten us and our listeners.
Not much, really. Just literally just work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. I went to Cannes in France, Sud de la France, for a bit of a spot of networking.
Oh.
That was good for 3 days.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you run out of caviar and champagne?
Not
Is
much.
Is the problem real? Is the problem real?
The problems are real, to be fair. there's only so much champagne you can take in a day, let alone three.
Magnums.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Why would you get any other size? You start off with a Magnum, surely. the other thing is that at MIPIM, which is where I went to, MIPIM,
yep.
It's a global real estate networking event that it was very busy. So 3 days that we were there, it runs for five, but we were there for three. And we were meetings every day, morning till night.
Sure.
We were coming home at about 3 a.m., waking up at about 8:30 for meetings at 9. We were right near the event. Ooh, look at you. I've got a coffee. Got a cafetiere. that's not him pissing, by the way, ladies and gents. That's him pouring a coffee. Good of you to mute that, Tom. Good of you to mute that.
Mate, getting the sounds of life in these podcasts.
That's true. I mean? Actually, that is one of the... So, yeah, let me finish telling you about MIPIM first, but then I'll make a comment. So, pretty much, it's a place where everyone from the real estate world in Europe and Americas, but mostly Europe, goes to network and find out and get some market intelligence.
Cool.
So, it's essentially, for a lot of the old boys, you're there just to drink and get away from your wife.
Sure.
And kids. For the younger generation, such as myself, it's a place to make connections and build on your future.
Nice. Did you feel it was productive for your career?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Every time I go, I meet very interesting people.
Yeah.
Very interesting people for the company, for my side hustles. No, it's good. It's very good.
I'm proud of you.
Oh.
Making big waves, mate.
Thanks, Tom. Oh, my God. He's proud of me. so also a lot of people have been asking us if we actually have a format or if we plan anything. We don't.
Okay.
We don't.
This is strictly off the cuff.
This is all improv.
We are reacting to each other. Hence, people, they don't, I don't know, maybe they don't understand our setup. Basically, you live in Manchester. I live in the backwater suburbs of Devon, which is in the southwest of England. And our setup is we talk to each other via a program called Clean Feed. That's a plug.
Oh.
And we FaceTime each other.
Absolutely.
For visual cues.
Yeah.
And just to remind each other of how much we fucking love each other. Hate each other, sorry.
Yes. Yes. Man love all over the place.
That is our setup though. That's our gig. That's how we do it. That's how we roll. So
absolute man love all over your face.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. So anyway, what has been happening in the world? Because it's been it's been interesting.
I think, where do we start? Because we have a lot to catch up on.
Well,
let's ladies and gents, by the way. You're in for a fucking bumper.
What's been happening? I mean, I don't know, to be fair. But, okay, the biggest thing that came to my mind is obviously Jussie Smollett.
Yep.
All charges have been dropped.
I mean, that's crazy.
Against him. Just shows you that you can be rich and famous and nothing will happen to you in America.
Exactly.
It's fucking preposterous. The thing is, they dropped the charges, but they haven't revealed, but they haven't actually made him innocent in giving the police the runaround.
Well, I'm just reading now. He's been ordered to pay $130,000 to cover police time.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. That's one episode.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's one day's wages. Oh, no. But that was what the whole thing was kicking off about anyway. So maybe now he'll realise just how much fucking money he was on.
Well, I don't think so. I think people like that who... I think he did it mostly for attention.
Yeah.
He did it and he thought that his attention would actually make him more bankable
for his studio. Let me ask you this.
Can you not?
Are we enjoying that sound, ladies and gents? That's another coffee. That's coffee number two.
That's a tinkle. A tinkle of coffee.
For a tinkle, tinkle.
You were going to say.
My question would be, it's the old cliche, the old phrase, there's no such thing as bad press. Does this count towards his career as bad press?
See, I think now companies, studios legitimately have a reason to give him work. I think he'll have to be taken with a pinch of salt, whereas before his career was definitely dead, I'm not sure now it is, because all the charges have been dropped, so officially, he's innocent.
Yeah.
But unofficially, we know he's a dick, so.
I've never seen him act. Have you?
No. I heard him sing, he's quite good. But the thing that I would want to question if I was an African-American actor sharing a scene with Jussie Smollett is, what the fuck were you thinking?
Mm.
And also, I would wonder whether a lot of actors would actually want to be alongside him, act alongside him, because I'm not sure if Empire have taken him back or not. I don't think they have.
Mm. I can't see why they would.
Well, stranger things have happened, haven't they?
Seasons 1 and 2, mate.
Trump has won. Brexit is happening. Oh, talking of. Now we'll tackle it. But you know, overall, he's a piece of shit,
yeah.
And he.
I can't believe.
Unfortunately, he got away with it.
Yeah, I can't believe he's not getting jail time. It baffles me.
Ridiculous.
What sort of an example does it set to people?
Well, it just shows that it literally shows that if you're rich and famous, you can get away with it.
Money talks and bullshit walks.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there was no... I've no idea... I'm not sure if it's been released as to why all the charges have been dropped. Because the police were very adamant to say that actually he was guilty. And at the same time, the chief of police for Chicago, who gave a very... very good speech about him when they first came out with the news that they were prosecuting him. He wasn't told before the motion was passed, so he was told about it at a function hours after it was done.
Right.
Done deal. So Jussie Smollett, you fucking got away with it. And, you know, good luck to you.
Well, just, yeah, whatever. Next. That's enough press for him.
Yeah, he's a cunt. Next.
I'm reading something quite interesting right now, updated 32 minutes ago, so I guess you could call it breaking news. Ooh. Yarn spinners, breaking news.
Ooh, sure. News.
Ukraine election. Comedian leads presidential contest on the exit poll.
Yeah, so this comedian who is, what's his name, Tommy?
Volodymyr Zelensky.
There we go. He actually plays a character in a sitcom where he is a normal guy who suddenly becomes, who gets elected to be a president of Ukraine.
Oh, mate, this has got all the makings of a conspiracy theory, isn't it? Stay tuned for Conspiracy Theory Part 3 episode when he becomes the president.
Featuring Vladimir Zelensky. So yeah, so he's he basically ran, well, his main rival, who's the current sitting president of Ukraine, who is, it's not Poroshenko, no, it is Poroshenko. He ran on something like army, faith, and family, or something like that.
Yeah.
And basically it's to strengthen the army so they can fight the Russians. He's a deep, he separated Ukrainian Orthodox from Russian Orthodox Church, and something about promoting family values or whatever. But he's, about a month ago, he's been caught up in a huge, or 2 months ago, he's been caught up in a huge embezzling scam and fraudulent scam. Brilliant.
Classic. I think that's a prerequisite, isn't it?
Yeah.
For those countries to go into politics.
So basically what the comedian has said is, well, I'm not those guys. So vote for me. I think that's basically what you can say to that.
That's all you can say, isn't it? That's going to win you straight over. Genius.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck.
And it looks like Slovakia elected first female president.
Yeah. I literally just read that. That's really interesting. Susana Kaputova. So good luck to you. That's quite interesting, absolutely. Though. It's showing, sexist equality.
Sexual equality. That's weird.
Gender equality.
Yeah. So, you know, no, it's been good.
But there's also been some horrible things in the news, isn't there? So,
such as what, Thomas?
Well, multiple stabbings over just a few days in London.
Yeah. There's been four today.
Four just today in North London.
A woman and three men were all approached from behind and knifed in the back as they walked alone in Edmonton.
It's just ridiculous.
Edmonton's in London, North London.
Yeah. It's really sad. It's really sad. Like there was that girl in the park; she got stabbed.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently for playing music, and then some people came over and they had an argument. And for some reason, knives were drawn, and that's it.
So, what do you think is the answer? Because I can see that police have been given greater powers for stop and search. But that's not how you eradicate knife crime, is it? I was speaking to a few friends about it. I've got a friend from London, grew up in London. And he said there's got to be...
Is he...
No, he's not. He is.
Is he a former... Is he a former knife gang carrier?
No. Okay. No, he's not.
But what did you think I meant?
Any number of things, to be honest. Ex-gang member.
Let's leave it at that. So he's not a former gang member, okay.
No. But, he's from some of the poorer areas of London. He's seen the violence and stuff, and he thinks there's got to be outreach programs. There's got to be something for the kids to do.
I think so, yeah. I think it's all... There isn't one clean answer for this. I think it has to be a number of issues. I think a number of solutions, I mean. I think things like stop and search is a good stopgap, even just momentarily, to ensure that some known individuals are stopped and searched for knives. I think there could be more done. But how can you control it? You know, you can't control it. Everyone has a knife at home.
Yeah.
You know, people just use it for cooking instead of stabbing. Yeah. So, well, that's what I use mine for.
Oh, stabbing
cooking, not stabbing.
Yeah, there's no one definitive answer. There's no, yeah.
And I'm not sure whether this is just, whether this is becoming more prevalent, or is being reported more, or...
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, whether it's always been there and it's just being shined, you know, the light is being shined onto it. I'm not really sure, but it is an issue. It is a huge issue that's plaguing London. It's starting to reach areas where this isn't normally the case. Yeah. Pimlico, etc., which is central London, zone one. So you would have kind of thought that, it, you know, things like in the center of London wouldn't exist like that, but yeah. They do. And it's becoming a real issue. And I think actually until a prominent figure or a child of a prominent figure gets attacked, these things will take time to do.
Yeah.
And to solve.
I mean, the PM has given the police a bigger budget to tackle it, but that budget isn't coming until next year.
That's good. That's good.
But you know, do you know what I mean? That's just such a ridiculous approach to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In my mind, the amount of fatal stabbings that are taking part in our capital, it kind of takes precedence over you tendering your resignation if people take your Brexit deal. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, to be fair, she's a billion quid short because she gave that to DUP. Worst bribe ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll give you £1 billion for you to support me in all our rulings, all our propositions. Yeah, all right, that sounds good. Okay, cool. What's the first thing that they do? Reject it. Good bribing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that good a new Apple there. Watch? I see.
No, it's not. Oh. It's a Fitbit.
Okay, cool.
Because I call it a fat bit. It'll be a fit bit when I'm not a fat cunt anymore.
Well, so never. It will, not that I don't have faith in you, but...
I am below 16 stone now, I'll have you know.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh, healthy.
Have some of that. And I ate a salad today.
So that's fine then. That's fine.
I'm going to take the Fitbit off now. I've exactly. done my part.
You've had a salad, you might as well have another burger.
Actually, I've got a great mate pizza out of here.
Oh, sure. 2 for 1.
4 for 1, mate.
Oh, sure. 4 for 2. So yeah, it's not very good. It's not looking very good at all.
No. But seeing as we have shuffled over towards Brexit.
Yeah, we might as well try to unravel that shit show. So what's happened in the month, Tommy? Obviously, March 29th was... The date.
Day. That was the day, and no deal was accepted. So,
well, March 29th was when we were supposed to actually leave or begin the process of leaving the EU.
But as no deal was reached, couldn't really leave, could we?
Well,
so we wrote a nice little letter to Mr. Tusk, who I think, in his comments, he's had a bit of a change of heart. Because he's seen all the people protesting and rallying against Brexit. And he said that those people can't be ignored. I kind of think that's a little shoo-in. That's a way back in to the Good Lads Club.
Do you think that we will not leave? Do you think there's a possibility that we will not leave?
I think there's a... Yeah. I think it's either going to be that someone will just cancel it. It will cancel May. It will be a complete political nightmare, a shambles. May will have to leave her post. There'll probably be another general election. Or
quick call. Who do you think will win if there's a general election tomorrow?
It's going to be Labour, isn't it?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't.
Go on.
I think it'll be the Conservatives.
Really?
Yeah.
Because?
There's a lot of people within who are Labour supporters who are a bit disappointed with how Labour have dealt with, especially Jeremy Corbyn, has dealt with Brexit.
Yeah.
As a man of the people, he walked out of important meetings because Chucker was there.
Yeah.
Who set up his own independent party, which is one of those sort of... It's like being on a playground. Yeah. And
I don't want to be in your gang anymore.
Exactly, yeah. My own. Exactly, yeah. So it's, no, it's kind of like, oh, well, if he's playing, I'm not playing. All right.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not playing if he's playing.
Not like the country's future is lying in the... No, that's fine. That's fine, Jeremy. You stand by your principles.
Yeah.
In quotation
Why don't you go
marks.
And see if there's any spaces on a train again?
Sure, sure. There are. There were. So...
You just chose the floor.
He just fake newsed it. I think a lot of people are disappointed with how he handled Brexit. I think he came out pro-Brexit, pro-Remain, pro-People's Vote, whatever they were expecting, very late.
Oh, definitely. So you think he's lost credibility?
I think so. I think a lot of people will think twice about voting for him now because he's so...
weak?
Yeah, but you know, I suppose it's, you're not really voting for him. You're voting for your MP, your local MP. So it'll be interesting to see. I think people who supported Remain and who fought for it will still remain, depending keep their seat depending on what their constituency made up of, i.e., Brexiteers or Remainers.
We're down here, we're... what are we? We're...
You'll probably leave. You're probably 100%... You're probably nailed on leave.
Down here.
Yeah, you're probably nailed on leave.
Yeah, Kevin Foster, Conservative MP down here.
The whitest... Probably the whitest area in the whole kingdom, and you were concerned about all the immigrants. So, anyone from London.
I wasn't concerned.
All those people coming... All those Syrians from Europe coming in. All right.
Actually, you say that.
I forgot that Syria's in Europe.
There's a large number of Eastern Europeans down here.
Okay. Are they working, though? That's the question.
Well, I don't keep tabs on them.
Well, you should.
There are 3 polo shops that in the vicinity of my house, so I imagine they are working.
To be fair, if you get some pierogi, very good food.
Mm. Mate, I go into the polo shops. I enjoy them. So it makes me feel like I'm on holiday.
Pickles, dude, they do very good pickles. Pickled cabbage, oof. Oof. Get that on your hot dog.
No. I will try it, though. I'll try anything, me. Apart from meat.
Oh, homosexual sex.
I just said apart from meat.
Mm.
That includes sausage.
So yeah, Brexit. Let's break it down. So Theresa May brought a deal to the Parliament that was rejected unanimously.
Yes.
Not unanimously, but by a large majority.
Yeah.
I think it was the largest defeat by a sitting government ever. But
that's a low blow.
She made records. She set records. So you can't say more than that.
Exactly.
Then she came in and said, "Right, I've got another deal. It might look exactly the same, but don't worry, the title's different."
Yeah, it's not.
So he got defeated again. And then there was John Bercow came out, who's the Speaker of the House, whose job it is to control and make sure the House is debating things in order. Mm. And he said, which I think is correct, he said, "Look, guys, if there's no substantial difference between the second deal that was defeated substantially and the third deal that you want to propose, we won't have another vote on the deal because there's no point. If it's the same deal that you want people to push through, we're not going to do it."
Yeah.
Which I think was the right way to do it. Stop wasting your time, come up with a good deal. And then...
I was quite surprised that the Speaker did that.
I really like this Speaker. I think he's doing quite a good job.
Yeah.
Controlling such a pathetic Parliament. But... And then the MPs voted to ignore May's leadership and vote and make Parliament, well, the House of Commons, the primary chooser of the deal by having indicative votes. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are many options, right? I think there were 8 options of a deal. One of them was just hard Brexit, i.e. we leave and that's it. We don't have any deal.
Mm.
There was things like we have a Norway, we have a Switzerland deal, we have, you know, we stay in the marketplace, blah, blah, blah. And although the MPs voted to have the right to decide as a parliament, to indicate to the Prime Minister what the parliament wants, they couldn't agree on a deal. Every option that was presented to them, they voted against.
Yeah.
And some people voted against all of them. So they voted against hard Brexit, but they voted against people's vote. They voted against all the options.
Yeah.
So some people are just playing a political game. Some people are actually concerned about this. I don't know.
So
it's a shit show.
If you were to make your prediction, we've done numerous predictions on this show.
Well, I was thinking about this. What were our earlier predictions?
I said it was going to go to a people's vote.
Yeah, I don't think it will. And I said I think it was going to be a hard Brexit.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be a hard Brexit. There's really? No other way. There's no other way to do it.
There is.
If you want to respect the will of the majority, which is what it was.
Yeah.
There's no other way than hard Brexit. And to be honest, I'm now at that point where I'm thinking, you know what? Yeah, I think we just have a hard Brexit, and then at least people know, and businesses know, and investors know what to expect.
Yeah. Do you see your your sector of the market, you know, your job essentially, do you see that struggling because of Brexit? People not putting money into construction?
So we both work in construction, right?
Sure.
Albeit some work harder than others. You're welcome.
You don't have to praise me online, mate.
I actually don't think it will make much of a difference to the UK market.
No.
People still need to build, right? All those developers that exist, they're not going to stop because they don't know they don't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
I think whatever government comes in will have to spend a lot of money to compensate for any infrastructure programs that were previously under the EU. So I think whatever happens, the construction sector, the thing that saves the construction sector and businesses in general is the low interest rates. The fact that it's cheap to borrow money means that it's more attractive to build here, and it's a strong market, and you know, and it's a safe market, blah blah blah. I don't think construction will actually suffer as much.
No.
The banking sector, maybe, but not construction.
Yeah.
Plus, most of the construction guys voted to leave, so the kind of, you would have thought they knew what they were doing.
Potentially.
They didn't.
It's interesting. It's getting to the point now where it's getting frustrating, but it is still interesting to see all the twists and turns that it's taking.
And then the rat-faced Jacob Rees-Mogg, who lives in the Victorian era, if not earlier.
Yeah, Dickensian.
And then the fluffy-haired cunt Boris Johnson. What?
I just like your description.
They
I might update Wikipedia later.
They reared their heads out up above
the parapet. Yeah.
To throw their hat. Because Boris was quiet throughout this whole campaign.
He's been very quiet.
And only recently, because May said, look, if you accept my deal, I will leave.
Yeah, he's got it in his head that he is the next PM.
And then suddenly Boris is like, ooh, well, we're going to have to accept May's deal. I think I'll support it.
Yeah.
Jacob Rees-Mogg, who was for a hard Brexit, said, well, if you oblige me to leave, then I shall vote for your deal.
Of course.
They're all cunts.
It's Johnson that I don't want to see the most, I think.
Over Jacob Rees-Mogg?
Oh, can you just...
I'm not sure.
Boris Johnson shuffling about like a dirty hamster.
Yeah, but I think I'd rather have him than Jacob.
He looks like he's from a Beatrix Potter novel, doesn't he? The badger dressed up as a prime minister.
Yeah, but I think Jacob Rees-Mogg is worse.
He probably is worse.
The man lives in Victorian era.
Well, he'd probably bring back hangings.
Well, he definitely will.
Certainly bring back flogging. So
sexual flogging, though.
That actually brings me on to something that I wanted to talk to you about as well. Did you see, I can't remember the name of the country, very rich country, and they've, I think they're 1/3 Muslim or 2/3 Muslim. They've brought in Sharia law, and they've brought in amputations of limbs for stealing, and stonings for homosexual offences, acts. Hmm. Have you seen that?
Well, it can't be Saudi Arabia because they already have that.
No. It's in
Iran.
No. You're thinking too Eastern. You're thinking too Middle East. It's near Australia. It's near.
Oh, we're talking like the Philippines or Malaysia.
Yeah, it begins with a B.
Bahrain. Burma.
No, not Burma.
Oh, okay.
Begins damn! Don't make me look at a map. I'm going to have to look at a map now.
Well, whilst you do that...
you entertain the guests. I'm going to look at a map.
So wait a sec. So what? They brought in Sharia law?
They've said, yeah, what is he? Is he the emperor, I guess? He's brought in Sharia law. And it's dreadful. It's Brunei.
Ah, the Sultan of Brunei.
The Sultan of Brunei has brought in Sharia law.
From April 3rd.
Oh, so you were just casually looking at the article whilst I was struggling.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
So Brunei... Brunei has a population, former British protectorate, obviously. Yeah,
of course.
With a population of around 400,000, will implement the Sharia law from April 3rd, punishing sodomy, adultery and rape with the death penalty, including by stoning, and theft with amputations.
Yeah.
The laws, elements of which were first adopted in 2014, so this isn't new, but they're coming into it fully.
Yeah.
Which have been rolled out in phases since then, will be fully implemented from next week.
That's some crazy shit though, isn't it?
And some aspects of the laws will apply to non-Muslims.
Thoughts?
See, I've been thinking about this. What makes Sharia law worse than English law?
It's primitive nature.
And who decides
physical on... physical punishment.
Who decides on that is bad?
Society.
What society?
What the society that it... Well, I guess
society that
society is looking at it.
Exactly. I think... And we have to be really careful. I'm not saying that Sharia law and all of its aspects are positive or negative. But what I'm saying is that the reason why Bush went into Iraq and the reason why the Americans went into Syria and Libya and Iran is primarily because they thought that the way that the leaders were conducting themselves was wrong.
Right.
Now, I'm pretty sure that most wars were started by Americans.
Of course.
The paragons of Western democracy.
Yeah. The standard bearers.
So what's to say that actually we're not worse or equal to the Middle Eastern and the Far Eastern countries that implement, by our standards, harsher punishments for mundane things such as adultery?
Well,
it's harsh conservatism. It's religious conservatism. I get it. But who are we to say that it's wrong or right?
Well, we're humans.
Right.
If you look at it from a humanitarian point of view.
Yeah.
Well, homosexuality.
Yeah.
Is that normal human behaviour?
No, but that's the thing. We think so, but they don't.
Yeah, no, but just because they don't think it doesn't mean that they're right or wrong.
Exactly.
They are wrong. Well, because you're arguing with science. There's no argument with science.
Yes, there is. Have you not seen America circa 2016?
Well, I'm talking about from a rational standpoint, not from a retarded one.
Wow.
Yeah, I said it. Fuck you. Offended listener, that is, by the way. If you're offended, fuck you. If you look at it from a scientific, humanitarian standpoint, you can't punish homosexuality. How could you? It's a normal biological reaction.
Absolutely. The thing is that it's all about cultural norms, which are man-made.
Of course.
And societal norms, which are also man-made, which dictate how you accept or not accept homosexuality. Now, in our culture, 50 years ago, it was bad. 100 years ago, who's the chap that invented the code breaker?
Oh,
not Benedict Cumberbatch, but the guy that he plays. He's a bloody Mancunian.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know who you mean.
Enigma, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? Not. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Just type in Bletchley Park or something.
Alan Turing. There you go,
Turing.
So Alan Turing was imprisoned.
Yes, he was, after the war.
After the war, bearing in mind, without him, we may not have actually, as in the coalition, may not have actually won the war.
Yeah.
Or could have anticipated some of the, you know, it would have taken us longer, etc., etc. But they jailed him.
Yeah.
Castrated him, I believe.
Chemically.
Yeah. And he committed suicide as a result.
Yes. He was, though, in defence of the nation, he was pardoned 50 years later.
Yeah. Well done, UK.
Yeah. But you're going back to, you know, older standards. I feel like society's evolved a little bit. It may not seem like it with, you know, anti-vaxxers and flat earthers.
But what defines an evolved society? Surely it's whatever we think or we attribute to an evolved society. It's what we think. So we think it's wrong to have women dress up in all black garm.
Yeah.
Covering themselves from head to toe.
But
that's because that's what we
That's a bit think. Different, though. That's different. Because you're talking about an actual culture. There's no science involved in that. It's just social practice.
But Sharia law is based on
cultural
and social practices.
Yeah,
from
but
religion.
I can judge it because I know that a woman dressing up in a burqa is a religious standpoint, and they're doing it from a religious point of view.
Not necessarily. Some say that they're being forced to do it by their husbands.
Yeah, fine. But for the majority, you're talking about something that is a a human behaviour.
Sure.
They have the choice. You don't have a choice to be homosexual. There's a difference.
I'm not sure you can say that women have a choice in Saudi Arabia to walk around without a burqa.
They do have the choice. They just get punished for it. What I'm saying is, no, but it's different, isn't it? Because I don't get to choose my sexual orientation.
Yeah, that's fair. Some people would disagree, but that's fair.
The people who would disagree are fucking idiots.
Well, let's not, shall we?
They are, though.
True.
I'm trying to get an email. So, I'm trying to get some hate mail. But, you know, you can't argue with it. It's biology. It's science. You can't argue with it.
That's fine. But then, there are things like you saying, and like you just mentioned, anti-vaxxers. It's scientific.
Yeah. They should be punished.
But they're not.
But they should be.
Absolutely. So you have something that is... It's a tricky subject. I agree with you. I just think that we can't... What we may think is inhumane and wrong by our standards might not be applicable. Because let's face it, law and order is all about culture. There's no science in law and order.
Sure.
Animals kill each other all the time.
Yeah.
No one gets punished for it.
Yeah, but they kill indiscriminately. There's no hatred in it.
Well,
there's no... Oh, so, I fucking hate mice.
Well, that's what we think.
Well, I know.
How? How do you know that they kill indiscriminately?
Because
most
of them fail.
Some apes kill weakest members of the, what do you call it? what do you call a collection of chimps?
Troop.
A troop of chimps.
Yeah.
So they kill the slowest of the troop. Sometimes,
that makes sense, though, doesn't it?
No, well, but then should we cull all of our elderly?
Yes.
But you see what I mean? We attach sentiment, culture, and value to things because that's what we have come up with.
Hence why we're more evolved than the ape.
But, well, if by evolution you mean we have conscious and we think of philosophical questions and we advance technologically, then yes.
We have recognition of self.
Well,
a lot of animals don't.
Chimps do.
Chimps do, but they're still a little bit behind, aren't they?
Why?
Well, what do you mean, why? Have you passed a chimp by going to work on the tube?
Yeah, it was wearing a bowler hat.
Excuse me, this is the chimps only section. Oh, sorry, sir.
That's segregation, and I'm against that.
For all chimp kind. Why have we just turned into Planet of the Apes now for some reason?
But
we are apes, though.
Well, exactly. So I think we're just more evolved apes.
Yes.
There's nothing more to that. This is what people refuse to understand is that our evolution is a result of
external factors.
A very, very freak mutation that has allowed us to become bipedal, that has allowed us to have a larger brain.
Opposable thumbs.
Exactly, that has allowed us to create community and therefore religion and therefore culture and therefore blah, 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 blah.
And well-developed vocal cords for communication.
Well, chimps communicate.
Not as well, though, do they?
Well, just because we can't understand them doesn't mean that they can't communicate.
I'm just saying that, you know, they don't even have an alphabet, mate.
How do you know?
They have vocal cues, don't they? I know, mate, because I watch stuff, yeah?
Oh, right.
And I read.
Have you asked the chimp? No. That's what some...
They have asked orangutans, though.
That's what some white woman has, you know, who lived with some fucking gorillas in a jungle said.
Well, you think she's bringing her race into it now?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they're just really simple because they don't have an alphabet. Meanwhile, those gorillas are sitting and thinking, what's that white bitch doing here? Why she got no hair? Who the fuck does she think he is?
Oh, who brought the albino in?
Yeah, exactly. Should we just kill her? Nah,
it's bad press, mate.
Just leave it, mate.
We're vegetarian. We'll let the chimpanzees do it. They're fucking mental.
They are mental. They will literally rip your face off.
Yes.
Have you seen that documentary with chimps?
Yes.
When they attack this guy who then... So they attack this chimp who then walks away. He gets heavily beaten. And then he comes back and beats the guy that started the revolt against him.
Yeah.
I say the guy, the chimp.
Dynasties.
That's it. It was mental.
Incredible.
It was mental.
Absolutely.
You can't tell me that is not community, communication.
Oh, it is. Of course it is. I'm not saying it isn't.
They probably have their own culture.
They do have their own culture. Just like killer whales have their own culture.
Chimps from UK. Do they have a different accent to chimps?
Probably. And they heavily favour PG tips.
Sure. Sure.
They miss the days of shifting pianos.
Sure. Yeah, so I don't know. I just think we have to be really careful before we say, oh, that's so wrong. It's like, well, why is it wrong? Because
we
think
have opinion.
Wrong.
We can have opinion.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, whether I'm right is a different matter.
That opinion has to come from educated views.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I think a lot of opinion nowadays is based off, well, that's how I feel. You know, it's like I was watching an interview with a conservative libertarian speaker. Well, no, he's not conservative. A libertarian speaker was talking to a college, to some college students. And one of the questions was, because we can't tell how people identify to which gender, we should ask them before we are, before we, not, as we approach them and before we actually talk to them, we should ask them how they identify as a gender. And his point was, well, I disagree with that because 99% of the time, if I see a guy, I know he's a guy. It's a very small community that is intersex, that has, or part of the LGBTQ community, that doesn't identify with X or Y.
Right.
Now, to me, that kind of makes sense. But then, at the same time, I don't really care what how you identify with yourself.
Yeah.
Equally, that they don't care how I identify with myself. You know, as long as we're not, as long as we're not encroaching on each other's rights, I don't see how this is an issue. I think when you tell people that, well, because 0.1% of the population feels like this, therefore 99.99% has to bend to their rules, I do think that that's wrong. Don't get me wrong. I think individuality is very important in the world, and you should be able to express it how you want. But to compel another person to do what you want them to do, I think that's wrong. But that's just me.
I would tend to agree, I think.
Well, how do you deal with it as an intersex?
I've never met anyone who identifies other than what they've already been genetically assigned. So I've had a few chats with people, and I really struggle to understand how you can not identify as a gender.
But even if you struggle, it doesn't make it wrong or right. The thing
no, it doesn't, but I struggle to respect it.
Ooh.
Just because I feel like some people might do it because they feel like the outsiders or the loner, and they do it for the attention. I feel like people would do that.
Yeah, but surely everyone. That would be a minority of a minority.
It probably would. But it's...
So you're willing to...
I don't see how you can get upset with someone, right? If I walk past a woman, or if I'm in a shop and I'm serving a woman...
What you perceive as a woman.
What I perceive as a woman in my reality. And I say, oh, thank you, ma'am, or thank you, madam, or, you know, whatever. And they say, oh, don't say that. I associate as a man, not a woman. How am I to know? You're a woman.
Yeah.
Genetically, biologically, to me, you're a woman.
I think that's... But then they would argue that it's more of a psychological state rather than biological.
Yeah, but how am I supposed to... I can't perceive your psychological state.
See, I would call bullshit on that because psychological state comes from the brain.
Yeah.
Which is biological.
Of course.
It's just a different wiring of a brain. There's nothing more to it. There's no more cosmic call for you to be XYZ. It's just how your brain is wired.
It just seems very odd to me that for many, many years, no one has really come out and said, I identify as this, that and the other, or non-binary and all these fucking buzzwords.
But maybe they always existed. I just think...
They never had the outlet?
No, and it's never been an accepted theory. I think there's been a lot of, you know, if you think about what, 1 in every 10 randomly selected people is part of the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
That number that number 100 years ago might have been 1 in 15, 1 in 20, but they still existed.
Yeah.
That's still, I don't know.
I just think it's probably ignorant bliss. Well, sorry, just ignorance from myself. I haven't met and interacted with these people, so, and I don't mean to cause offence by calling you these people.
Yeah. I think it's different with race and sex, because if you see someone who is black, you wouldn't assume they identify as white.
No.
Right?
And same vice versa.
As. Exactly. So, but these are very visual cues, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I think what he's saying is that because it's not such a visual cue, what you shouldn't do is assume that the person in front of you identifies as who you think they identify as, which is why you should ask them. For me,
it's just ridiculous.
For me, it just adds an extra layer of conversation, which doesn't need to be there. If if I say to someone, oh, hey, buddy, and it's a girl, and she, well, it's a guy who identifies as a girl, and he and she tells me that actually I identify as a woman, I'd be like, okay, fair enough. Well, sorry, you're wearing a full-on beard and your dick is hanging out, but okay, whatever.
It's a valid point. It's a valid point because why go through the extra? So if you walk into a shop, before we conclude our business, do you identify as a man or a woman? Should I call you sir or madam? It doesn't need to happen. What about the people who haven't decided?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm on the gender fence.
I'm not sure how I feel about this because although I want them to be individually happy, I think pressuring me whenever I talk to anyone to have to request confirmation of someone's gender.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a bit meh about it. You see what I mean? It's like, well, okay, fine. Well, where do we go from there?
It's kind of highlighting the issue, though, isn't it? Because in the circumstance where you have to ask them, where's the difference in asking someone, what's your sexual orientation before we carry on this conversation?
Yeah, it's a bit. I find it a bit intrusive to go up to a random person and ask them, oh, sorry, what do you identify as? I think it's. I'm not sure how you can start that off. I think it works in some communities. So, say you go down Canal Street in Manchester, which is an LGBTQ strong community, you can sort of understand if you go up to someone and say, you know, you'd be a bit more aware of actually that not everyone I see is A, straight, B, a male, C, a female, you know, D, either or.
Yeah.
Etc. etc. But if you're walking randomly down the street, or if you walk into a shop and you see, I think obviously, you know, if you see a person with long hair, a dress, and a beard, you kind of assume that A, it's either a stag do, or B, or B, it's a non-conforming gender individual.
See, now people are going to kick off because they're going to say, oh, why would you assume it's a stag do first?
Well, that's what I did for a stag do, so I assume that other people do it for stag do's.
Well, they do. That's what we did to my friend, so it's fine. Next.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I wouldn't go into Nigeria and assume that people don't identify themselves as black.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of, I think it is community based. I think if I go down Canal Street and I see a guy, or what I think is a guy, in a woman in women's clothes, I wouldn't automatically assume that that person is called Peter.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Like,
of course, yeah. It's area specific, isn't it?
It's the same as, like, I'm pretty sure if I'm standing in a group of Chinese people.
Yeah,
I wouldn't assume that they're all
identifying as Japanese.
No, I wouldn't assume that they all have Western names.
Of course, yeah, Andrew, James.
You know, I wouldn't assume that they're all Chinese. You know, et cetera, et cetera. It's
But that yeah.
I think it's community.
I think
specific.
A lot of people do assume that most Asians they see are Chinese. That's quite a heavy. I would say that. That's...
That is true. There is like 43 countries in China.
Yeah.
In what is perceived as Chinese. Obviously, we had our anecdote about me going to a bar and someone saying that I'm Japanese. He was very sure that that was true. Very sure.
And he was sure that Kazakhstan was a made-up country.
Oh, yeah. No. You're not from there. Which Japanese city are you from, mate?
She said, well, you know,
Tokyo, mate, whatever.
Nagasaki. It's fine. It's fucking brilliant. I love it. I like those anecdotes because they make me laugh.
Well, it's good that they made you laugh. I cried myself to sleep, but that's fine.
As long as it made a white man laugh, it's fine.
Obviously, the other thing that we have to talk about, something that has happened, which was horrible, was the... Well, it was the 50 Muslims being slaughtered in New Zealand.
Yeah, that was fucking atrocious.
Can I just come off the bat here and say, what a cunt.
Absolutely.
What a fucking dick.
Piece of utter cunty shite.
Forget that he killed 50 people. Mm. The fact that he live streamed it for people to quote unquote enjoy is fucking atrocious. And the fact that some people actually enjoyed it is even more atrocious.
Yeah.
I really do hope that guy gets... I don't know. I don't, coming back to our previous podcast, do I want him to be killed or do I want him to be in jail? I think I want him to be in jail. Because I would want him to suffer like absolutely no other.
In general population?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He'll get murdered.
Well, fine. At least he'll know what it feels like.
I
genuinely think that guy was not a white supremacist, but a fucking troll.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to be famous. I think he wanted notoriety and infamy. And I think that's why he did what he did. He could have just gone in, written his manifesto, and slaughtered 50 people that he thought were a plague on society, but he chose to transmit it online.
Yeah.
It's the worst. This is the darkest part of the internet, where people get off on sick shit like that.
Yeah. I got sent it. I got sent the video.
Well, obviously, because you're
Half
German, bald-headed.
I mean,
white.
Obviously. I got sent it though. In all seriousness, and I left the group of the lads that sent it to me. I couldn't have any respect for people that even made light of it. Do you know what I mean?
It's not a funny situation, is it?
It wasn't funny, and I didn't know what I was watching. And then obviously I saw the shotgun and stuff. I saw the first person die, and I erased it from my phone and left the group. And it was horrible. It was disgusting. My thoughts and prayers, I don't pray, but my thoughts are with those people and their families. And I think the good thing that came out of it was, I hope America was paying attention. Because the PM of New Zealand, her reaction is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole government's reaction, just incredible.
Well, I mean, within 48 hours, they banned assault weapons and modifications to weapons that make it make a normal rifle into an assault rifle.
Yeah.
I think they banned all high power weapons. She's obviously been very... She had a lot of FaceTime and she mourned with the community, with the Muslim community in New Zealand. And I think she got a lot of respect from the Muslim community globally because of how she reacted to it.
Yeah.
She didn't do a Trump thing by saying that there were good people on either side.
Yeah. She didn't say there should be more guns in mosques.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were missing. They were missing loads of guns.
Yeah. If only the imam was armed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the thing. The thing that I deplore from his perspective is that he went into a space where people should feel safe, where they are at their probably most vulnerable because they are praying, because they are sort of they're talking to their God in a very relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be at any point a thought, like there shouldn't be at any point thoughts in school kids in the US that, oh, I may die today.
Yeah.
If I go to this place.
I better bring my gun.
Or, you know, like one of the best-selling things for back to school in America was bulletproof backpacks.
Jesus Christ.
So instead of solving the issue, they're just plastering over it.
Yeah. Just making it more of a sport, aren't they? Find the one without the bulletproof backpack, the poor kid, shoot him.
I mean, it's fucking, it's atrocious.
Here's how America are dealing with it, because you've reminded me of an article that I was reading earlier. So in Indiana, police officers have been doing school shooting drills. Have you seen this?
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
And a school in Indiana has been criticized for apparently shooting teachers, and this is in quotation marks, in execution style, with pellets as a part of an active shooter drill.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, the photograph is a police officer with a girl, that's the dog shaking, between 13 and 15. She's an actress and she's covered in fake blood. I mean,
what kind of a fucking world do you have to live in?
That is exactly my point.
Where that is the thing that you teach kids. Oh, kids, don't smoke, don't drink, don't have sex unprotected. Oh, and by the way, if a shooter comes into your school, this is what you need to do.
The thing is, they've got photographs here of these three officers, and they're carrying a volunteer during the drill. So this is obviously a drill for the police as much as it is for the students. But this is society gone crazy, isn't it? If my kid come home with a letter that said, oh, Mr. Knight, next week we'll be doing a gun simulation of a shooter in the school. People are going to get shot with pellets and whatever. Got you, you're dead. Not only does it turn it into a game and desensitise people, but it can also traumatise. Do you know what I mean? Your kid could be coming home terrified every day. And it just exaggerates it and exacerbates it.
But also as a parent, you're always thinking, fuck, if the school is calling me, something bad has happened.
Yeah. I mean,
and not like bad, my kid got suspended, but my kid might be dead.
Yeah. It's such an odd... I don't understand why they put their own future generations' lives at risk by allowing these fucking gun nuts to rule the gun laws in their country.
Well, I mean, I think money has a lot to do with it. I think primarily they're doing it because the gun lobby is very powerful. The gun lobby is very powerful because they produce a lot of guns and they sell them internationally and nationally. I think there was a statistic, whenever there's a Democrat elected to the president's office, there's a spike in gun sales.
It's fucking madness.
So people that have guns already will go out and buy more guns just in case.
Yeah. It's madness.
It is a bit oxymoronic, isn't it? In the sense that you're sort of... It's paradoxical how they see all this happening in their own backyard. And yet it's a bit like if you see... I don't want to use this analogy, but if you see a drunk guy walk into your garden all the time, you put up a fucking fence.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, it's preventative measures. It's not about... I don't know. Build that wall, I say.
So, I'm just wondering, because we're on with America and we're talking about guns and all that sort of stuff, and obviously it all stems back to the Second Amendment, doesn't it?
Yeah. Which, by the way, has been changed. So, because, I mean, it's an amendment, so...
Yes, yes. Amendment change number 2, just for our more basic American listener.
Wow.
Amendment number 2 means change number 2, change to the original.
Wow.
So, it says, a well-regulated militia...
So we've lost about 10% of our American listeners.
Give a fuck. I don't want them in our demographic. Fuck off if you're still listening. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Okay.
That's the Second Amendment. In 2008, the District of Columbia versus Heller, the Supreme Court held that the Second Amendment protects an individual right to possess a firearm unconnected with service in militia, and use that arm for traditionally lawful purposes, such as self-defense within the home.
Mm.
Very gun-orientated. And it seems like they'll go to any lengths to keep those laws. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they do, don't they? They go to very extreme lengths to keep those laws. They don't want to admit that there's an issue. I mean, the gun issue is multifaceted, because it's not just guns are there, yes, and that's an issue, but there's also the fact that they don't really, America doesn't really tackle mental illness with proper, I would say, with proper diagnosis and with proper treatment. They, again, because it's a heavily capitalistic society, what they do is they prescribe them drugs.
Yeah.
So these kids, who get used to a certain drug like Xanax and whatever, they stop taking that drug, and then suddenly they have a psychotic break. I just don't know how... I don't know how many more things have to... How many more massacres do they have to go through before they think, you know what, we should probably do something about this. I mean, Obama tried to introduce, what was it, slightly harsher checks.
Yeah.
And it got rejected.
Oh...
So it's not even like he said, we should take all the guns away like they did in New Zealand. He said, maybe we should look into second market for guns, and maybe we should put tracking chips into them so we know
who they're being sold to. Yeah, where they are and what they're doing.
Maybe we should have slightly harsher checks on people with mental illness. No.
Listen to this, for just some stats that I've just pulled up for mental illness in America. So, approximately 1 in 5 adults in the US, which is 43.8 million, or 18.5% of the population, experiences mental illness in a given year. In a given year.
So, just as comparable for our English listeners, the population of the UK is around 65.
Yeah.
So, about...
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds of the country is mentally ill.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Approximately 1 in 25 adults in the US, so 9.8 million or 4%, experiences a serious mental illness in a given year that substantially interferes with or limits one or more major life activities. So you're talking
15%.
Psychotic breakdown, debilitating psychosis.
So about 15% of the UK population
Yeah.
goes through serious mental illness.
If you translate the statistics across.
So I'm trying to convert it to let's face it, most of our listeners are English or UK based, but obviously if you're in other countries, it'll be some, well, if you're in a country like, what's the population of France? I don't know.
80?
Something like that. So half of the population of France is mentally ill.
Yeah.
With 11% of it seriously mentally ill.
Check this one out, though. This is horrible. Approximately 1 in 5 youths aged 13 to 18, so 21.4%, experiences a severe mental disorder at some point during their life. For children aged 8 to 15, the estimate is 13%.
Jesus, 1 in 5.
1 in 5 with a severe mental disorder.
Jesus.
So how many million is that? It's not actually giving me the numbers there.
1 in 5, that's what, about 20%?
Yeah.
20% of the population, let's say American population is about 200 million. So about 40 million people. 40 million youths.
It's probably more than that, because 1 in 5 adults was 18.5 percent, or 43 million.
But that was 1 in 5 kids, wasn't it? That specific one.
Yeah, yeah. 1.1% of adults in the US live with schizophrenia.
Jesus.
6.9% of adults, or 16 million people, had at least one major depressive episode in the past year.
Wow.
Consequences of lack of treatment. Serious mental illness costs America, this is mind-boggling, $193 billion in loss earnings.
That's about the budget for the NHS.
Yeah. Mood disorders, including major depression, dysrhythmic disorder, and bipolar disorder, are the third most common cause of hospitalization in the US for both youths and adults aged 18 to 44.
Jesus.
So think of the medical bill there. Wow. Think of the people that can't afford the medicine.
Wow. Yeah, it's it's
suicide
crazy.
Is the 10th leading cause in the US.
Jesus.
Cause of death. And the second leading cause of death for people aged 10 to 34.
Jesus.
Each day, an estimated 18 to 22 veterans die by suicide.
Oh my God.
70% of youth and juvenile justice systems have at least one mental health condition, and 20% live with a serious mental illness. So 90%. 90% of the juveniles in the justice system have a mental illness.
Yeah, I think I was reading somewhere, or I heard somewhere, that I think we'll look back in 100 years' time at the way that we treated mental illness. Not treated, but as in how we approached it as a society. And we would think that it's barbaric.
Yeah. I mean, those statistics there are frightening.
Yeah.
And yet, gun laws make it very easy for people who are mentally unstable to get a gun. I mean, where was the bipolar one that I just saw? 2.6% of adults live with bipolar disorder.
So that's about what? 200 million? That's about 4 million people.
I mean, there's still 4 or 5 million people, mate.
5.2 million people.
That's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To be having a good day.
Well, there are 50 states. Buy a gun. Right? 5 million people, yeah. 50 states, that's 100,000 per state.
Yeah. And we've just seen that one guy with a shotgun can kill 50 people.
It's mental. It's mental to think that this problem is not being tackled by the powers that be. Yeah. It's not being at all looked at as... Because I think it both go hand in hand. I think having guns readily available to mentally ill people is a huge risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think not properly treating mental illness is a huge risk. Mm-hmm. I think having a society that looks at mental illness as something that should be swept under the carpet is a huge issue. I think, thankfully, in the UK, we're getting much better at it. I think more and more men, women and children are talking about it.
Celebrities are urging it, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you have such high-profile cases such as the guy from Love Island, which is a program in the UK, reality program in the UK, he committed suicide due to some mental issues. There was a former beauty queen that was also another Love Island contestant. She committed suicide.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend committed suicide because of that. I think that kind of stuff brings attention to mental illness, which is sad, but good in a way, because at least there's attention being shown to it. So even they had to sacrifice their life against proper treatment and counselling. It sort of paves the way for other people who may be in a similar position or who will be in a similar position to not experience such difficult issues. Mm. I think every one of us, you know, hand on heart, can probably say that they've been blue at some point in their life.
Of course.
But people react to that differently. And unfortunately, some people think there's no other way apart from to take your own life.
Or take someone else's.
Or take someone else's. I mean, yeah, it's fucking crazy how we think that, well, how Americans, some Americans think that actually the way to solve an issue is to supply more guns.
Yeah, and more antidepressants.
Exactly. What was to say that the teacher that you said should have a gun isn't going through a psychotic meltdown themselves?
Yeah. Well, what's to say that the teacher who has the gun under lock and key in the desk isn't having a bad day with the
gun? Exactly.
And pulls a gun out?
Exactly. You know, it's easy to say that, yes, if they had a gun, it would be much easier because they could just shoot the intruder, yeah. But who controls the controller?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I mean, people manipulate systems like that, don't they?
Absolutely.
So what always. If you wanted to create a massacre? Some people are going to be twisted enough to get the job in a school, prove that they're all good and they're fine and they're dandy.
Yeah.
And get the gun a couple of weeks into a job, they're going to blow people away. People do it. People do that sort of stuff, you know? Give them the means and the tools to do it, and they'll take advantage. And it will happen.
It's fucking crazy, mate. I'm not really sure how they're going to solve it.
I don't know. It's going to take some bright spark.
It really is, and it's going to be... Well, I don't think it's going to have to be something anything clever.
No, but I think it would have to be the cleverest things are the simplest, aren't they?
I think it would have to be the full force of democracy coming to play and people having enough of their kids being in danger, of their loved ones being in danger, and saying, you know what, enough's enough. You know what? The Second Amendment was designed to ensure that the average man can rise up against the tyrannical government and take it down if it needs to.
Yeah, it's well, time to evolve.
We've gone beyond the point where that can happen.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that if 200 million people with all their guns started a revolt against a tyrannical government, I'm pretty sure the US Army would fucking destroy them.
Yeah, pretty sure they've got the National Guard for that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
They have their own militia who doesn't leave the country.
So, I'm not really sure. I think it's... Shamedly, I think it's all linked to profit.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Something that you've mentioned, just to veer away from such a depressing subject, because it's a subject with no answer, so there's no...
Sure.
Yes, it should be discussed and talked about, but we're not going to resolve it in no. this podcast. Maybe we'll in the next one. Maybe in the next one.
We'll try.
Occam's razor.
Go on.
Do you think it's flawed?
Do I think that Occam's razor is flawed?
Occam's razor implies that the simplest and the most obvious answer is normally the correct one. But if that was the case, then there would be no conspiracies. And they exist. So, what is the easiest and most obvious reason for Bush going to war in Iraq?
Oil.
Is it? Or is it actually democracy?
Well, if you want my personal opinion, if you're going to apply Occam's razor, I would say it's probably oil. Because you just said that profit is everything. And going on that, I would say oil.
Okay. Say, what about the following? Say, Operation Northwood.
Go on.
I think it's Operation Northwood, where the US government was okay.
Is that Colombia or the Cuban missiles?
False flag operation. Right. So say America has just experienced a two planes flying into their government buildings.
Right.
At the time in the 1960s, the passports of the attackers and the identities of the attackers are Cubans. Occam's razor suggests this is a terrorist attack.
Occam's razor also says often the simplest explanation is the correct one.
Yeah. So
often would hint at
that there will be some cases which are not.
Yeah.
But then I think a lot of government operations are done to a point that actually Occam's razor becomes
the norm.
Yeah. Well, the fallacy of Occam's razor becomes the norm.
Where are you going with this?
Well, it's just a thought that I had recently about how Occam's razor is a great idea for science, but not necessarily when there are such complex things as human interaction.
I think it's more just a case of, it's a philosophical question, isn't it? So. Mm. It's more sort of curiosity based. I don't think that you can apply it to very many things and expect consistent answers. Society, for example, or mental health. You couldn't apply Occam's razor to mental health.
No.
Or social behaviour.
I do think it's, yeah. I think it's only really applicable to scientific.
Yeah, it's that, and it's, you know, it's a parlour trick, basically, isn't it? Occam's razor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, I think we've reached a conclusion, haven't we?
Have we?
Occam's razor would suggest that we've reached the end of the podcast.
Ooh. And yet, what do you think of these anti-vaxxers... kids that are not vaccinated in some county in New York are being banned from public spaces.
I think it's utterly the correct thing to do.
How do you know if they're not being vaccinated, though?
Well, I imagine that they have some sort of register.
Yeah, but if a kid walks down the street...
Probably got a ventilator on. Hazmat suit.
In a bubble. A bubble child.
I don't know. But I think guess this he's is the one that's itching loads and looks like he's got chicken pox and mumps and measles.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was what was it? Something in France. Area of France has experienced a disease which has been eradicated previously, but because of anti-vaxxers, it's come back.
And this is all because they think that you're going to get autism from the vaccinations.
Yeah. Measles. So the virus has previously been considered virtually eradicated. 10 years ago, the potentially life-threatening disease...
That's you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a... So, measles, once considered virtually eradicated in France, is making headlines once again due to a steep rise in the number of cases. Bless you. But why, in a country where it's easy to get immunized, is measles making a return? So measles is a highly contagious infectious disease. One of the most contagious diseases. A single patient can infect 18 other people who have not been vaccinated or who did not have measles during their childhood. France is going through a marked comeback. French health authorities warned of surge in measles cases at the Val Thorens ski resort, one of the highest in the Alps and a popular destination for both French and foreign tourists. 18 recorded cases were mostly young adults working at the station this season. UNICEF announced on Friday that along with Brazil and Ukraine, France is one of the 10 countries responsible for the 75% increase in measles cases in 2018.
Wow.
Brazil, Ukraine, France are one of 10 countries. 10. We are seen as the country of spreading measles in the world, said France Health Minister. What is amazing is that we are a European country where it is very easy to get immunized.
Mm.
Just this year, so this is in 2018, I believe, a total of 244 people have been infected with measles in France. In 2018, there were 2,913 cases. So, this must have been 2019 article then. So year to date is 244. The highest level in Europe has been in France.
Wow.
Comparatively, in 2017, there were only 519 cases. So it went from 519 cases to 2,913, so it nearly quadrupled. It has quadrupled.
That is pretty ridiculous.
And cases have been rising in other parts of the developed world in recent years, the result of fewer children being vaccinated against viral diseases that cause rashes and inflammation.
So how many... What was the total number?
913 in 2018.
2,913. If you times that by 18, because that's the number each person,
You'd end up with 60,000 something.
52,434.
My maths is brilliant.
You just lost some Asia points
52,000.
Fuck. And that's just in, you know, that's just from those people. So if you times that number by 18, then 943,000. Exponential growth, people. Get vaccinated. Next.
Yeah, I think my issue is with something like this, it's fine for you to... It's completely fine for you to not vaccinate your kids if you live in a community with no vaccinations on an island.
Yeah.
But as soon as your kids come into contact with my kids,
they're going to die.
It's not even the kids. The kids are not an issue.
No, it's the adults.
It's the adults. That's the fucked disease, up thing.
The infections can just become so much worse.
That's the and the elderly.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Just be death, wouldn't it? It'd be a death sentence.
I mean, what the fuck are we thinking? Why are we doing this? Why are we thinking that not vaccinating your kids is the right thing to do?
It baffles me. It's utterly ridiculous.
Mate, it's fucked up, I tell you.
I can see from the look on your face that you take it offensively.
Well, I do, because...
I do too.
I worry about my own health now, although I've been vaccinated, MMR.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had mumps when I was in my 20s.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was nice for you.
Yeah, it was fucking brilliant. My balls swollen up like there's no tomorrow. And not...
It's not pleasant.
And it's... I would never wish that on anyone.
No. I had chicken pox. I'd never wish that on anyone. Especially an adult. It can be deadly.
Exactly.
So, lesson learnt, people. Come on. I don't understand why you're thinking that there's some sort of conspiracy theory here. Well, let's apply Occam's razor to it, mate. What's the simplest and most straightforward answer to... Yeah.
I've read somewhere a very interesting, a very funny article, and they were saying, you know, in the 90s, scientists were saying, we cloned sheep, we have sent a rover to the moon, to Mars, successfully. In 2018, scientists are saying, look, guys, the Earth is round, and you need to vaccinate your kids. Yeah. How fucking regressive have we become?
Well, we've basically just gone back to Alexander Fleming, haven't we? We've gone back to that time.
How regressive can we get when we have to tell people that the Earth is round and that... I watched the documentary, by the way, on Flat Earthers.
Right.
It's incredible. I'll tell you that.
I might have to watch it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. What's it called?
Highly recommend
Shite.
It. Talking of Netflix, have you seen Afterlife by Ricky Gervais?
No, not yet.
Mate.
Good?
Oh, it's actually not that funny.
Right.
But it's brilliant in a very dramatic way. I think this is probably one of his best works.
Really?
I would place this above The Office.
It's high praise.
It's a very dramatic and emotional piece of work. And the actors are all brilliant.
I'll have to watch it when I'm in a safe space.
Oh, mate, I would, especially given that, you know, Your dad passed away from cancer, and the whole thing is all about cancer. You will cry. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
It takes a lot to make me cry.
No, trust me. It's fucking...
Is it hard-hitting?
Yeah, it is.
Straight to the home heart.
It is. It is. And there are some very comical bits in it, but... For the majority of things, it's a very serious piece of work. And I actually really love how Ricky Gervais transitioned from a comedian to
a legitimate very, actor.
Yeah, very serious, dark, dramatic actor and writer and director. I highly recommend anyone that can find it to watch Afterlife on Netflix.
Well, I'll watch it and then...
review it. We can talk about it.
We can review it. I'll watch it by next weekend.
He dies at the end. Don't worry about it.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, I'm joking. Thanks, mate. I'm joking.
Well, either way, spoiler alert.
I'm joking. Well, there's no need for him to die. It's not a thing. It's not part of the film.
Sure.
But it is very serious. It's a very, very sad, but very sort of bittersweet
right
end to it.
I will certainly give it a watch.
I would.
It's on my list.
I would. But anyway.
After the Flat Earthers.
It's been an hour and a half of discussing the sickest knitting techniques.
If you haven't made that jumper yet, go back to episode 1. Start again. Right, we'll take you through the art of crocheting.
Oh. Men crochet. Hashtag men crochet. How can they reach us, Mr. Tom?
I believe...
Good night, Mr. Tom.
Good night, Mr. Tom. They can email us. No one has yet, but We get a lot of spam, so I think that counts.
Oof. Yarnspurspodcast@gmail.com.
That's that bitch. They can also tweet us, so at Podcast Yarn. Facebook, Yarnspinners1, I believe, at Yarnspinners1. Carrier Pigeon, Morse code, mirror signals, smoke signals.
Exactly. Or if you want to contact Tom directly on 07.
That joke never gets old.
Oh, so...
But no, please do get in touch if we've offended you, if we haven't, if we've enlightened you, if we haven't. Give us a review, give us a message, let us know you're listening. I know we have at least 17 of you, so that's on the analytics.
Wow.
Me and Dimitri don't count.
Wow. I don't listen to our podcast, by the way.
I don't listen to them. So if you are listening, let us know you're out there. If there's something you feel like we should discuss, then... you know, drop us a line. Give us a hint if you want us to discuss something in our voluptuous, beautiful way. But anyway, Dimitri, it's been a pleasure.
You too, buddy.
Peace.
Peace out. What?